There we go. We good? Okay, so it works great. If it doesn't, not the end of the world. Okay, so this is the first chapter of the new campaign, which is, I don't even have the title. What's the new adventure
called?
Lost Crown of Neverwinter. Thank you. This is what happens. I photocopy the pages I need so I can write all over them, and I don't bring the actual module, and I've only started reading it a few days ago, so I haven't had a chance to memorize the title. Okay, Lost Crown of Neverwinter. It takes place in the Forgotten Realms. D&D Encounters has not been set in the Forgotten Realms since the first season. This is season 6, so been a little while. The adventure is in conjunction with the new Neverwinter campaign setting hardcover book, which just came out. There are new character themes which are available in the Neverwinter campaign setting, which you can apply to your characters if you're going to build new characters. And again, I got photocopies of the cards if you don't want. Yeah, I have a couple. I'll grab it. So, if you are familiar with the Forgotten Realms, if you've played the Forgotten Realms before, one of the things between 3rd edition and 4th edition was the realms, they advance a timeline almost 100 years. So some things are still the same. A lot of the geography is still the same. But obviously a lot can happen in 100 years. And one of the things with Neverwinter... actually, I think I've got a little background. I'll just read this. But one of the things with Neverwinter is it was basically decimated by an erupting volcano. And the city was just covered with ash and lava. And so this adventure takes place like years later after they've started rebuilding.
Okay.
So let me read the little background part here, and then we'll go a little deeper. So nearly 30 years ago, the bustling city of Neverwinter perished in a fiery cataclysm that slew half its population, including its ruling family, the House of Alagondar. Tremors ripped through the city, opening a mighty chasm from which bubbled horrors from the world below. Most of those who survived the cataclysm fled, and folk believe that the city destroyed, and the crown of Neverwinter, symbol of the city's power and influence, was lost forever. A few years ago, the city began rebuilding. Lord Dagnalt, Nevermember, Open Lord of Waterdeep, came northward, bringing his deep coffers of coins and an army of Minteran mercenaries to pacify and resettle the city. His first order of business was to construct a wall to keep the worst of the terrors at bay, a strategy that has proved successful thus far. A trickle of refugees return, a tide that has swelled in the last year to a steady flow. Their homes and livelihoods will be restored, Lord Nevermember says, as long as they accept him as Lord Protector of the city. Speculation runs rampant that he plans to crown himself as the heir of Alangar's line. Now, in response to a sudden and seemingly impossible attack by Plague Change Beast in the Protector's Enclave, a supposed true heir of Neverwinter emerges, a warrior who wears what can only be the lost crown of Neverwinter. And that's basically where we're going to pick things up tonight. Blah, 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 blah. We don't do that yet. Okay. And let's see. A little bit about the background. City of Neverwinter, once a sparkling jewel of the north, fell into ruin about 27 years ago in a great cataclysm. The nearby Mount Hotnow erupted, catastrophically raining ash and fire upon the city and tearing it apart from below with a great earthquake. Roughly half the city's population perished, including its ruling family, the House of Alagondar. Many others fled, leaving only a desperate few to carve out an existence among the ruins. So this is basically the same blurb that I just read there. Yada yada yada, and we're good. Okay. Did anybody play the Game Day Adventure last weekend?
No.
Craig, did you play at Gen Con?
I didn't have a chance to have Tribune Chamber.
Okay.
Did you get to play it?
I played it on Monday night, yeah.
Good question.
Yeah.
I find it odd. I don't have a daily power.
Yeah, the characters built with essentials don't all have daily powers.
Okay.
Again, we'll worry about the specific mechanics of the characters when it comes time to actually, use combat. Okay, so. This is a little picture here of what the city looks like. It's like right on the coast, towers and bridges and such. Okay. So, chapter one. Okay, so. Let's see. The session begins after characters go to the. Okay, so for purposes of simplicity, we'll assume that all the characters know each other. You guys can come up with creative backstories about why you're in Neverwinter, whether you're from here, whether you're from the nearby area and have come here, or whether you're from somewhere far, far away and have come here seeking adventure. Maybe you're fleeing the authorities, maybe, you know, and whatever reason you feel is appropriate for your character. Being the first week, I know a few of you have pre-generated characters, so I'm not going to put you on the spot and have you come up with something crazy and wacky. I mean, you can if you want, but I think that probably by next week or the week after, once people have had a chance to think about the kind of character they want to play, we can certainly flesh out those details. So there's a little bit of roleplay that happens here at the beginning of this encounter. Again, because you got pre-gens, this may go a lot more quickly than if you had had a character that's a little more fleshed out, but it doesn't really have that much of an impact on the overall story. It's just a way to get people engaged early on. So at the beginning, everybody is here in the market. You'll notice the market doesn't have many stalls at this point, and we go from there. So this, actually I have a map here in the Neverwinter book. Greg, do you have your Neverwinter book there? Did you pull the map out?
I did not.
Neither did I.
Neverwinter. Do you have one of those extra game day things? I think they had a map like in the poster.
That was just the map of the countryside. I'm looking for the actual map of the city, which I know was in here. I saw it last night when I was reading it. Probably in the Gazetteer section here. But here we go. So this is the city. This is where you guys are. Protector's Enclave. In this part near the water. And there's the open market is somewhere in there. I'll make a copy of this. I'm sure there'll be a copy online soon enough.
Let's boot some eggs.
Yeah, we'll go from there. Okay, so let's see where it was. So it's a cool spring afternoon at the local market in the safety of the Protector's Enclave. Across the river, the ruin of Castle Never stands as a stark reminder of the cataclysm that shattered Neverwinter nearly three decades ago. Across the city, you can see the high wall that guards the eastern border of the Protector's Enclave from the ruins of the southeast quadrant. The wall, that's wall, capital W, proper name, that wall, along with the river, cuts off this quarter from the monsters that now inhabit part of Neverwinter. Okay, so let's just quickly go around the table and everyone can just say what character they're playing. What's your race, your class, and if you've thought of any interesting character quirks, then by all means let us know. And if you've got one of the themes, let us know that as well. So why don't we start with you, Al?
Sure. Character's name is John Perrin. He's actually the theme of this character. He's a human fighter. And he's a Neverwinter noble. So he's come to Neverwinter from Waterdeep to try and see if he can make a legitimate claim to rulership of Neverwinter.
Okay. So he's a human fighter?
Yes.
Okay.
My character's name is Stanley Goodman. He is a human cleric, war priest, with the deity's Torn. And he's come to Neverwinter because he's one of the Harbor's agents. He took that theme. Harbor's agent.
Awesome.
Looking for corruption in the Lord Never Ember's supposed claim to the Neverwinter.
Okay. And so just a little background on the Harpers. The Harpers are sort of like secret police, but they're here to do the good works of the various nobles. Yeah, they're like.
I thought that fit well with the Torm because he's justice.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that from some of the books that took place in the old Forgotten Realms, the Harpers were often did things that, you know, were maybe a little outside the law, but their motives were always quite noble, and the people sort of that were giving the orders were always, you know, beyond reproach. They always seemed to be the best of the best.
Harpers were destroyed during the spell plague 100 year gap there,
yeah.
But now they've just recently reformed.
Yeah, so this, again, forget what you knew, but don't forget it entirely kind of thing. It's changed.
I have a question. Are the purple dragon knights still around?
I believe the Knights of Cormor are around. Cormor's still around, but I know it's undergone some significant changes. We can always look it up later, but I mean, if that's something you want to work into your character's background, I'm fairly certain they still are, but okay. So, and which characters are you playing?
Fargrim, the Dwarf Slayer.
Dwarf Slayer. So he's got a big weapon and he likes to run and hit things with it.
Yep.
Okay. He's a fun character to play. I played him a few times because we've been using these same pre-generated characters for three or four seasons, and although I ran the last season, I I played on and off the season before, and that was one of the guys I used.
Is he like, don't think, just go?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he does extra damage, or he has bonus to his attacks if he charges. So it's always, I charge, I hit. Okay, I move away. Now I charge another guy, and I hit. Okay, it's sort of like a barbarian. You were saying you're looking for a barbarian? That's the closest pre-gen we've got.
Does he have the marks? Can he mark a target?
No, he's not.
No, the Slayer doesn't have that.
He's a striker.
Yeah.
So one of the, yeah, so he's got two, probably two at wills that are basically stances. And I think one is probably for charging. Yeah, the green ones.
Oh, true, yeah.
Yeah. So basically, one of the things you're going to want to do is start off on the stance, because it'll give you a bonus either to damage or to attacking. Right? And then you go in and then you'll do the attack, which is your basic melee attack, and you'll get the bonus of whatever.
Hit him hard, hit him often, drop him before he can turn around and get you back.
Okay,
who we have next?
Okay, my character's name is Belgos, and he was a drill ranger. He used to be a gladiator in Slave Pits, and he's escaped, and now he's trying to fight for his freedom.
Awesome. Okay, Barry, who do you got this week?
Mine is an Eladrin Avenger, Ilyan Bruin, Guardian.
Okay.
And I channel the might, wisdom, and grace of my goddess, Melora. Verily, she is rad.
Fair enough. Okay. Have you ever played the Avenger before?
No.
So the Avenger is a striker as well, but they're like a divine striker. You have the ability, when you make attacks under certain conditions, to roll 2d20s to take the best result. So we'll help you when the combat starts, just to let you know which ones you can do that on. So hopefully what that's going to mean is you're going to hit more often, and you're going to get critical, you're going to roll 20s more often. So the Avenger can be a lot of fun, but they can be just as frustrating if you run into a tight spot. So
don't they lean to controller as well?
And they have some abilities. I'm not sure how Kyle's built that pre-gen up, so we'll take a look. Okay, so again, exactly where you are on the map doesn't matter at this point yet. So for whatever reason, again, we don't have to worry about coming up with a believable reason, but the PCs know each other. Let's just say that for whatever reason they've decided they're going to meet here. They've been separated for however long. It's just, you know, friendly reunion. Hey, how's it going? We're all going to meet in the marketplace on this day at this time. So that's sort of why you're here. You've all come together. And while you're here, there are a couple of places of note which you can visit if you'd like. One of these shops, I believe it's that one, is the armor, where you can buy or equip or upgrade your armor. Again, being first level characters, you probably don't have much money, and any money you have, I'm assuming you've already spent, so it's just really a chance if you want to interact with the shopkeeper. And then the next one over is the weaponsmith, and much the same thing. If there's a particular weapon you want that you don't have, there's an opportunity to talk to the person and potentially buy it. And then there's the supply cart. Supply cart. Actually, that's a broken down supply cart. It's a guy who's just fixing the broken wheel on his cart. He's just there at the start of the encounter. So you guys have the option, if you want to talk to any or all of those, the people running those three, that's up to you, or we can just move right along. It's totally up to you.
I said we try to fix a cart, get some free stuff.
Okay, let me just see.
I've got 44 gold pieces.
The driver of the cart is a big human man called Clord, and he is struggling, like really struggling to fix his tire. I guess we still call it a tire?
No, it's
the wheel. Struggling to fix this wheel. It's
cart wheel.
Yeah, it's whatever. Exactly, literally cart wheel. So yeah, so the drow goes over, and at first he's sort of, whoa, oh, hello, and so you offer to help him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, he's like, oh, that'd be greatly appreciated. You know, he's like, so many people just walk by and mind their own business. It's nice to see a friendly face.
So we help him fix his wheel, and then we ask him how much he'll give us some magic weapon.
Not just yet, you wait till after.
Give me a dungeoneering check, which I believe is under your wisdom. So there should be a number next to dungeoneering. It's that plus the d20. Just the draft.
20.
Not you.
Damn,
just the draft.
I rolled low. 13?
13 is enough. 12 is the number you were shooting for. Okay, so there's a couple of you helping out. I mean, the cart's full of goods, so you got a couple of the stronger characters maybe, you know, putting their back into it to lift the cart up, and a couple of the other guys trying to get the wheel on, and your character manages to, put some stuff together. It's not going to work for very long, but it'll work long enough for him to actually get the part somewhere where someone can do a more permanent repair job.
Cool.
And he is incredibly grateful. What is your insight score? Should be under your wisdom as well.
Insight?
Yeah, just tell me what the number is.
3.
Okay, so the passive will be 13. Does anyone have an insight score? Say, who's got?
I got 10.
So your passive 20. Is 20?
I trained insight.
Okay. So.
I got 0.
You guys, so as this is going on, you, only you, sort of realize that two things. The work that you guys have done to fix this wheel, the guy, when he was working on it before you got there, he really didn't seem to be doing a very good job of it, intentionally so. But like it's subtle. You're like, you sort of, it's almost like the cart broke down and he wasn't in any hurry to fix it. Whether maybe he was just looking for, you know, guys like you to help him out or whatever reason. But you get the impression that he was definitely not giving it his all to fix this until you guys showed up.
So and then once you guys
showed up, he's all like, oh yeah, no, great, thanks. You know, and he is genuinely grateful that you've helped him.
So maybe this was faded.
Maybe.
By your god. Your god wanted me to fix this cartridge.
She is rad.
Say we ask him about his intentions. Where was he going?
He asks you a little bit about your past. He's just trying to, you know, during the course of the thing, as everyone's sort of doing, you know, he's helping out, and he's certainly doing his part once you guys come in. And, you know, he's offering suggestions. Oh, this stupid wheel keeps falling off. He's like, I tried doing this, and I tried doing that, and, you know, with a little bit of coaching, you're able to go, well, what if you try this, and what if you try that, and he's very impressed, and sort of, he asks you in such a way that, like, you know, while everyone's not, like,
yeah,
listening, he just asks you about a little bit about your past. So how long have you been in Neverwinter? He's like, where are you from?
I lie.
Okay.
and
let's hear what you have to say.
Well, basically, I just want to protect myself just in case my slave masters or whatever are still looking out for me. So I don't have a price on my head. So I lie to him and I tell him I've just come to help with the reconstruction and protection of the city.
Now, your character would probably know or would have been able to find out since he's been in Neverwinter. There are actually a lot of drow here. This is, so like a lot of the male drow that have left the matriarchal society, this is one of the sort of their safe havens on the surface world where they tend to come. But I mean, they're not all good guys, so they don't walk around going, hey, I'm here. But given that you're a drow, some of them probably would have approached you already, or at least when you were looking around, they maybe would have let you see them. So he's sort of leaning in that direction. He's trying to find out if you have any friends here, if you're affiliated with any of the drow that are here, or if you're more of a new arrival. So from the sounds of it, you're telling them, you know, I just got here. I'm, you know, I wasn't sent here or anything like that. Is that sort of where you're going with that? Okay. So, and he nods. He just, you know, he's like, he just says that he's had dealings with some of the drow in Neverwinter, and he finds that, you know, their gold is always good, and he goes, they may be duplicitous in some cases, but he's like, you know, a bargain that's been struck where the wording's been nailed down tightly, he's like, they've always been able to rely on them. And he goes, the drow always seem to have good sources of information. So he's like, if you've ever come across any little tidbits that you think could be useful, he's like, you let me know and I'll pay you for it.
Can I do a perception check on his little card there?
Yeah.
Just to see if there's anything that I can notice. Now that I'm just kind of suspicious to why he
put it.
You know, why he would have broken down the card or like not been in this. It's great. That is 18 on perception.
No, he just seems to be, like, there's nothing suspect on the cart. The cart itself is just full of sundry goods. Like, basically what the map shows. It's just some boxes and crates. Like, he seems to just be taking stuff from point A to point B. None of it looks like it's particularly valuable. It's just heavy, right? Like, that's the only, why else would you need a cart? It's too awkward to carry yourself.
So as you mentioned, where point A and point B are, or what they are?
If you ask him, like, where were you headed, he does. He's like, oh, I was heading to the shop over here, and these are goods from wherever. I mean, he has the answers. It's not like he's trying to pull a fast one.
So has he been a resident of Neverwinter long?
Yeah, he says he's been here a number of years, and, you know, he's made his good traveling to and from. He's like, it's pretty dangerous going out of the city and coming back in, so he's started to make a better living staying and just delivering goods within the city. And he says the more people that arrive, the more people need goods, the more shops need stuff transported. He's like, business is booming. He's happy to be here. And that's why he's sort of frustrated at the card. He's like, hopefully I'll have enough money soon that I can actually get a new card or get this one fixed to the point where it'll stop breaking down.
How does he feel about what Lord Nevermember is doing?
He seems indifferent. He's like, he's like, you know what? He goes, honestly, I don't really have a personal stake in politics. He goes, I keep my ears open so that I can try and make an informed decision. And if people ask me, what I think about this and what I think about that, I'll tell them based on what I know. But he's like, I try not to form an opinion. I try to just, put all the facts together such that they are. He's all about that.
Can I ask him two questions?
You sure can.
First, if I need to come back to let him know about any information, where can I find him?
Yeah, he gives you a couple of shops where he frequents. He's like, I'm usually, I work out of here, here, or here. He's like, if you're looking for me, just leave word there and they can find me and I can meet you somewhere.
I never caught his name. What was it?
His name is Clord. C-L-O-R-D. Just says, a big human man.
Okay, cool.
Fixing his cart.
And could he point me in a direction of like a throw committee or anything?
Well,
like that?
He says it's not so. Yeah, he's like, it's not like they have like a big house. But he says, he gives you sort of some areas of the city. He's like, if you go here, he goes, obviously they prefer the evening being subterranean and they tend to blend in better. He goes, the Neverwinter's becoming a pretty cosmopolitan city since a lot of people from Waterdeep are coming up. They're pretty wide open and receptive of the various races, but he's like, there's still the old prejudice, so he's like, don't draw unnecessary attention to yourself, but he's like, you'll find certain areas where the drought tend to populate more often. He's like, you should have no problem. He's like, they'll find you. And he goes, all you have to do is, let a few people know you're looking for some of your brethren, and they'll make contact. So anyway, he's like, okay, thank you for your help, guys, and he's got to hit the road. This delivery is not going to deliver itself. He's on the clock, so he gets his cart and off it goes. So when we have our encounter on this map, the wagon is not going to be there. Otherwise, the wagon would be there, and it would be difficult block off terrain. I forgot there was this thing over here as well when I was describing. This is a food vendor. Yeah, he's a halfling food vendor.
What's this? Fountain?
That's just fountain. Yeah. Okay.
So,
oh, yeah, sorry.
Good call. No worries.
Okay. So did you guys want to talk to anyone else, or you're good to...
I'd like to inspect some of the wares at the armor.
That actually... Thank you, Thomas. I've got 3 gold points. Awesome.
Sorry, armor?
Yeah.
Okay, so the armor shop is run by a portly, red-bearded dwarf. No stereotypes there. His face gradually grows redder and redder as he talks in a booming voice. The shop has, he sells armor listed in Heroes of Forgotten Lands, Heroes of Forgotten Kingdoms. So basically anything from the regular books is there. It's nothing magical, just all regular goods. His goods are fine quality, and you notice that your character's a fighter, right?
Yes.
So you've obviously had some training, weapons and armor, and you notice certain symbols of the makers of, like, I would assume every armor maker stamps his mark on it. You recognize symbols from a lot of different places, from like far away from Neverwinter. Clearly this guy is buying from far away, probably cheap, and then having it shipped here so he can make a profit off it. Not that it's illegal to do that by any means, but he obviously knows his stuff. He's not going to settle for crap just because it's made locally.
Sounds like guitars.
Yeah, so as you guys approach the shop, of course, he's, like any vendor you've ever met, he's like, oh, come. He's like, you're wearing fine armor, but we can improve on that. Are anybody playing a dwarf? Your character's playing a dwarf, right?
Okay. I'm broke. I can't get anything if I want to.
Yeah, he introduces himself as... Othir, A-O-T-H-I-R, Othir Wilson the Asylum. And he chats you up. He's pretty friendly, and if any of you guys even make a hint, maybe I would need a new shield or something. And he's like all over that. Oh well, let me show you this. Let me show you that. And he's your typical salesman. Talk. And as he's talking away, he goes on and on and on, and he tells you that he's been in Neverwinter for a long time, and he came here searching for for Gauntlegrim, which is the legendary home of the dwarves. It's been lost for many hundreds of years, and you know, it's the rumor is that it's somewhere near Neverwinter, so a lot of dwarves come here looking for it, and then go, oh, screw it, I can't find it. And they just end up here. And that's exactly the story you hear from him, and that's exactly the same story you've heard 50 times before from 50 other dwarves. It's a really common sob story. Not that they see it as a sob story. They all position it in the most positive light. You know, it clearly wasn't my time to discover it, as opposed to, man, I suck and I couldn't find it.
You suck.
So has he been in Neverwinter long?
Yeah, he's been here for probably years. Like he's been here longer than, like, the Lord's only come up in the last few years. He's been here before that. He said obviously business has improved greatly, but he said even when Neverwinter was still a very fledgling community in disrepair, the kind of people that came here were adventurers, and adventurers always need armor. So he's like, you know, if anything, what he's lost in, like, he's had to basically, now he has to sell armor for the same price as everyone else because there's competition. So before he was one of the only guys here, so we could jack the price up. He's like, if you're here to fight monsters and your armor gets total, you need new armor, so we can charge you whatever he wants. Now there's competition, so that's why he imports all these goods. This is like, you know, I got to compete with 10 other armor guys, so people know they want quality, they come to me. They just want something cheap, they go to the other guy, and the problem with cheap armor is it gets you killed. He's like, you buy my armor, you know exactly what to expect. It'll turn a blade, it'll stop an arrow.
It's not magical, is it?
No, he's he clearly, he doesn't have the kind of money to carry magical armor.
But it's like good armor.
Yeah, he a lot of it is actually forged. He forged himself, but he goes, I'm only one dwarf, I can only do so much. He's like, I forge a few pieces, then I gotta sell what I got, make some money.
What are his thoughts on the whole situation with Lord Neverember and what's going on with his claim to be a...
He goes, it's a human issue for, it's a human issue, human problems. He's like, I couldn't care. He's like, business is good, I'm happy. He's like, as long as they don't close the borders or introduce additional taxes and tariffs that'll eat into my profits. He's like, which I'm sure they will anyway, but he's like, no. He goes, if the city prospers, I prosper. He goes, more people will come. He's like, I'm sure more of my dwarven brothers will show up. He's like, every day I see new folks like yourself coming in, and you know, he's just happy that more and more people are here.
Let's check out that place.
So if anyone actually wants to buy any armor, again, he doesn't have anything magical, so it's anything that was in the book, which I gotta really assume that by now you would have already bought when you built the character in the first place.
Let's check out that
the
place.
The weapons shop.
Yeah,
low run weapon. By a half orc female.
Ooh, cha cha cha.
And she looks tough. So she's got a lot of scars. Like, she clearly has seen battle. She's probably a little bit older. Like, I assume most adventurers are probably, you know, just coming into their prime, like between probably 20 and 25 for first level adventure. Like, she's probably in her, she's probably like in her mid to late 30s. Like, she's been around the block a few times, and she's clearly seen battle. And even just as she's sort of handling weapons, like, you can see that she clearly knows what she's doing. Let's see.
She's got hair on her chest. She's got hairy chest.
So, class again. Fighter, war priest, slayer, ranger. You're an avenger?
Yeah.
I'll keep the drone. Just give me a rogue. I'll roll one up.
Sure.
For simplicity.
Up to you. She seems very direct. Like, whereas the dwarf and even the merchant were, you know, very, very friendly, like, she's more direct. Like, she's like, if you've come here, you need a weapon, she's going to get you the weapon you need. She's not about the chit-chat. She really sort of turns her back to you. It's like, your character being a divine character would probably have a symbol of his god and that. Like, she's like, I got no time for that. She's like... but she... Wasted Avengers use big weapons, right? What are you armed with? You got a...
great sword.
Oh, you do have a great sword. Okay, so... initially, she sort of scoffs, probably at both of you guys, but then she realizes, like, yeah, you might be of the divine characters, but you're clearly, like, weapon-bearing characters. You're not just, I'm going to stand back and use my holy symbol from 20 feet away and go, oh, yeah. And then that seems to... that seems to be her thing. Like, she seems to respect the characters that get their hands dirty and come in and use their weapons to do whatever they need. Let's see, what does she talk about here? She takes a liking to heroes with obvious physical prowess. So anyone who's got...
Well, yeah, my character shows a scar down his face with his leg. It's all damaged.
Yeah, she...
He's got some obvious battle scars on him.
Because it looks cool.
She... Okay, so... Victor, give me a... nature check, please.
Nature,
I believe it'd be under your wisdom.
So, zero. It's 11 plus a plus
no,
zero modifier.
Just whatever the modifier is, it's d20 okay. plus that number. Many of your skills are only going to be zero at this point.
Two.
Okay, no dice. And the rest
of them don't even notice
what
the
rules.
There's a plus. I am the greatest.
Yeah, so, again, she's pretty direct, just, are you here to buy weapons? Or like she's notices compliments and comments on your, you've got a great sword that looks like it was made from the Smiths in Waterdeep. I see it's got the such and such jewel in the dagger or whatever, in the pommel. Like she clearly knows the weapons and she's commenting on them. And you guys probably all have some pretty good gear. And she almost seems a little confused. Like, you guys all have awesome weapons. Like, what are you guys doing here? Do you need... Are you equipping for something longer? You need backup pieces? You're looking for a dagger? You're looking for a bow? Crossbow,
magic
maybe?
Daggers.
What are you looking for?
No, I'm just new in town, and I was just checking out what you guys have for sale.
Magic daggers?
No, unfortunately, she doesn't sell magic. She's just straight-up weapons. She's not a weaponsmith herself. She's just a merchant. She would obviously have them brought in.
Does she carry gouges?
What's that?
Dark Sun weapons. Is that a Dark Sun campaign?
No, she would have just whatever is in the regular Player's Handbook, because she's your standard weapons.
Does she have? Does she hear any rumors flying around about anyone looking for any help or anything like that?
Like looking for a job?
Yeah.
Nothing specific. She's like, I find it's best to keep my own business. I just sell weapons. She's like, you want to talk? You want someone who talks about everybody's like. Go buy some fruit from the halfling over there, and she points over to the stand.
I go wander over to the.
Okay. If anyone wants to buy weapons again, she can sell them to you, but I would hope by now you've already got some gear.
Yeah, not good.
Okay.
I wonder if 60 arrows is sufficient.
Yeah. Okay, so you head over to the cart?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jarvi, the halfling vendor. He sells tarts, meat pies, and fruits of several varieties for very reasonable prices. And as you come over, he's he sees you coming from across. Oh, Connor, he's like the best fruits in the market. Of course, he's the only fruits in the market. But he's like, oh yes, you've never tasted food this good. Come. It's like if you want sweets, if you want meats, if you want vegetables, whatever you're looking for. And he's like asking, what do you want?
Can I get extra rations, actually?
Sure. He's like, oh, absolutely. He's like, you want some beef jerky? He's got like dried goods. He's got fresh stuff. He's like, you're looking for stuff that you can take with you in the long term. And he talks your arm off. And
just want stuff.
Are these all homemade, like the meat pies and stuff?
Oh, absolutely. He's like, I make all of these myself every morning. He's probably even got like a little. Hibachi or something set up where he can make some of that right there. Like, there's going to be times where there's not a lot of customers and he doesn't want to waste time. So he's certainly always keeping himself busy.
Cool.
I'll purchase one of his meat pies.
Ooh, well, he's like, yes, so that puts him in excellent spirits. A gold piece buys a customer a snack and a bit of sharp tongue gossip told in what Jarvi imagines is the bombastic manner of a bard. He thinks he's a bard. Or he wants to be a bard. So let's see, we've got one. Three, four, five, six. Someone here was a harper, right?
Yes.
Do you leave the little pin out, or do you have it hidden?
I leave it in.
Okay. So, let's see. I'll buy some goods, I'll get some room.
Because I'm in the market for friends in the city.
Yeah. So, again, he's talk, but he throws in a few of these kernels of knowledge along with it. So he says, Lord Nevermember constantly strives to prove his link to the Allengrod bloodline. Recently, he's hit a snag. There's a dearth of sages in the city willing to write fiction.
That's it?
The sages are just smacking up his name?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Does he know what the sages are saying? It's causing a stir.
He says, well, if the Lord is trying to prove his legitimacy, then these sages are obviously writing the opposite.
Can you tell us where these sages are?
All over the city. He rhymes off a few different districts, which the references are so vague, they're not even helpful.
Cool. Down the street to the left.
Yep. Would anyone else like to purchase some goods?
Yeah, I'll purchase a ration or two.
Okay, so you buy a few of his snacks, and he is equally grateful.
Yes, I will buy a Hostess fruit cup.
He says, watch for General Sabine of Mintarn. She's got the ear of Lord Nevermember and all the charm of an angry boar.
What was the name?
General Sabine. S-A-B-I-N-E.
What are we
listening
to? Is she
like a captain of the guard or something like that?
General. It's her title.
So we keep buying food till we know everything.
Okay, I try to ply him for some more knowledge.
Craig, he notices your character's wearing a little Harper pin. And he says, oh, Harper. He's like, there's rumor of infighting among the Harpers. I've heard tales that one of them murdered another one. Was that you? Is there a reward?
Maybe I'll cover up a little bit after that.
Yeah. Like, oh, I jest. I'm sure that you're not the perpetrator of such a crime.
Well, just check. You both hide, so I'm okay.
Yeah. Well, I'll be like, well, you know, that's actually, I'm here investigating what you're talking about.
Oh, well. So, mum's the word for me. I won't say anything to anyone.
Well, now I have to ask you, do you know anything about it? You seem a little knowledgeable on the subject.
Oh, so that's all I've heard. He's like, I hear people. They come. They eat, they talk, I happen to be by. I can't help it over here. I don't try to listen. Hold on a second. Okay, yeah.
Well, I'll get myself a meat pie as well.
Okay, yeah. So he's pretty happy you guys are buying some goods. So he keeps talking. He says, the protective enclave is fine and safe, but the Black Lake District is another matter altogether. The gangs rule there. And you better not be seen wearing Nevermember's colors if you head to the Black Lake District.
Neverwinter colors?
Nevermember's colors, the Lord.
There is animosity between the Lord and some of these gangs?
He does not have the command or control or respect of some of these groups that he believes he does. And openly displaying affiliation with him could put you in trouble that you may want to and could easily avoid.
Thanks. Good to know.
Okay, so let's see what happens next. Let's place all the minis. So everyone just be around the cart there.
I'm talking to you, you half run. You vertically challenged person.
Okay. Suddenly the world fills with a lingering unease. Nausea fills your stomachs and you feel dizzy. The feeling passes, but you still feel off balance. The world seems vaguely wrong. Don't worry, you haven't gone to the shadow film.
Where have I seen this before?
Yeah. Okay. I need everybody to make a perception. Hang on. At this point, here's to make active perception checks. So everyone give me a perception check. So it's D20 plus your perception. And in some cases, it's under your wisdom.
21.
Okay. 19 is your number.
Wisdom?
Oh, so plus 4.
12. I rolled so low.
Okay, so who hit a 19 or higher?
Yeah.
Giselle?
2 plus 8.
Okay. Does anybody have a spell score?
No. Can I say I do it for...
If you want to build your character with a spell scar, you can.
Actually, I'm not even familiar with spell scar, so I'm just going to leave it.
Yeah.
Actually, a lot of people are repulsed by it, so it's not necessarily...
Yeah, it's a bad thing.
I know that much about it. I remember, like, the Paragon Pass, and they're all like, don't judge me based on my scar, I'll kill you.
Exactly.
Okay,
so who made the perception check? Al, which mini are you? Okay, you hear, the other guys don't hear this, but you can hear noises coming from the sewer grate. Okay, I need everybody to make a perception, or to make an initiative roll, and then we'll giddy up.
Initiative roll?
Yes, please.
Nice re-roll of that.
Okay, Victor got a 19.
10.
Barry got a 10. Christopher?
12.
12. Craig?
4.
Al?
14.
2. Okay, I should probably roll my monsters too while I'm at it.
Oh, do I have the modifier to 2?
Yeah. Are you? Yeah.
21. Sorry.
Probably won't matter. You got the highest of the party. It's just a matter of maybe if any of the monsters happen to exceed that.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
cards.
Six.
So everyone for Craig.
And of course, I didn't bring the right minis, so you're going to really have to suspend your disbelief when we're fighting these monsters. 20. Oh, see, this monster rolled a 20, so it's a good thing we changed yours from 19 to 21.
Yeah. 20! Quick question. The aim shot and clever shot, do I just make a regular weapon attack and use that for it?
Yeah. Don't worry, we'll go slow. We'll help you with your guys as we go.
Well, I'm pretty sure I pretty much got it. It's just...
Okay. So, the air fills with a cacophony of roaring and mewling cries. The sewer grates are thrown aside as moaning creatures climb forth. They look like skeletal men, but their limbs bend at weird angles. Their eyes trail blue flames as their heads jerk through the air. At the same time, three scaled creatures claw up from the pipe that project out into the river. You've heard of creatures like these. They're called guard drakes. But the parts of their bodies don't seem to fit together properly. Folks run in all directions, and the creatures turn to you.
Can I quickly make a dungeoneering check to see if I can find any more information about these creatures?
You guys can make nature checks once I get started, so hold on just a second.
There is no taking.
Well, that's a lot,
right?
Okay. I hope they're minions.
You freaks.
Okay, just one here. Come on. What just happened? Are those guys?
These are the creatures. The blue and yellow capes are the ones that have crawled out of the sewers. And all the guys with torches that are pointing are just regular folks that were in the market.
Okay.
Part of what you're trying to accomplish here is to ensure that none of the regular people get killed. Jeez, I'm glad I brought them all.
Gonna need all of them.
10. Okay. Oops, didn't bring in enough minis. Okay, I actually have Drake minis, but I forgot them at home. So, I'm going to use these something else's here. Barry, can you hold with the rolling for a minute?
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Is it the drakes?
Those are the drakes.
Okay,
so the all of the weird flight creature things are gonna start coming towards you. So we've got Victor first, and then the guys from the sewers.
Does the perception check give me any advantage?
Does a witch?
The perception check give me advantage?
Oh yeah, hold on just a sec. Let me double check on that. Hang on just a sec. Let's see what that says. I think you get a surprise round.
Let's boot some head.
Yeah, you get a surprise round now with the monsters on the board, and then we go into the mission.
Okay, sweet.
So
I throw the halfling at him.
So you get one action. So guys with torches are innocent bystanders, and everyone else. I'm actually going to divvy up my.
These guys are moving to us, towards us, or are they moving towards the?
They all sort of seem to be heading towards you.
So that's good for now. But those drakes on their head.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
I guess as a partial free action, say, protect the civilians. And I'll just move up to here.
Yeah, I'll
put the lines up to here.
Actual squares here.
Do you want to charge him or you just want to move?
Well, I couldn't really charge because I'd have to go around this guy.
But he's a friendly guy. You can go through his space. That's fine.
All right, so I'll just charge him then.
Monster's ready. Hold on, I gotta find the stat block for the monster.
It's really... Oh, and it's a fumble.
Okay, let me just go over some of the things. So it's daytime, so there's bright light. That's not a problem. Any squares that have like barrels or crates should have a little triangle. It means they're difficult squares to move through. They cost two squares instead of just the normal one. The buildings are residences. They're locked, but you can either try and smash down doors or pick locks if you're in a situation where you're trying to get inside. You can go... The sewer grates basically are treated like pits. So if you push... If you get pushed or if the monster gets pushed into the thing, they would fall down. It's only 5 feet, so you would take no damage, but then you need to make an athletics check to climb back out. It's more just an inconvenience than anything else. The sewer pipe... Characters can try and stand on the edge of the sewer pipe, but it's slick. If you do that, you need to make a check or you fall in the river. Again, you don't take damage, but just then you got to make a check to climb out. Any of the squares with green are considered difficult terrain as well. The merchant is gone, so we don't have to worry about him.
And all of the merchants?
No, the guy with the wagon. So ignore the squares that look like the wagon's there. It's not there. Okay, so we got Victor, then some monsters, then Al, then Christopher. So, Victor, which guy are you? You're this mini? Okay. So you got options then. These guys, you can just take a single step and attack either of those two guys. If you wanted to charge, you need to move at least two squares so you can sort of back up and then charge. Or you could potentially go and attack one of these guys.
Can I charge them or no?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have the speed for it though?
Yeah, so I think his speed is 5. So you would do... The charge is a special attack where normally you get a move action and an attack action. The charge is special. It actually counts as an attack action. The first part of which is your moving. So you can do your move action and then a charge, which includes a move action. So you, if your speed is 5, you can move 5 and then charge 5 more. So the thing with the charge is, normally you get an attack action and a move action. If you do the charge first, your turn's done. Even if you would normally get a move action afterwards, the charge ends your turn, done.
Okay. Don't forget to activate one of your stances.
No, Al was the only one who gets surprised.
Oh, okay.
Okay, what does that do?
You assume the Berserker charge stats. Until the stats ends, you get a +2 power bonus to your speed when charging. And +2 power attack, or sorry, power bonus to the attack bonus.
Okay, so whatever your basic melee attack says, it's probably like a +6, +7, +8 versus AC. So that's the number you would add to that. Okay, so you want to charge one of these drakes, the green guys?
I like to charge the drakes.
Want to just get the closest one? Team up on them with Al?
Oh, okay. Get the one behind
me. Over here? Put you there.
Yep.
Okay. Fire away. So, okay. D20 plus your basic attack score plus the 2.
Where is the attack score?
It should be, Greg, you show them there? It's probably the very first one.
Broken part of the game. Are you doing a stance?
Yeah, he's getting an additional +2.
Is it to damage or to attack?
To the attack roll.
Oh, yeah, so it's to strengthen, right?
It's basic melee.
It should just be his base melee. It's probably the very first one.
Okay.
Great act.
Okay, so attack, so you're going to go 20+7. Okay. Which I see, if you hit, then it's 1d20.
So normally, you would have that, it would be a +7 plus a d20. When you charge, you get an extra +1. And because you got your stance on, you're going to get an additional +2. So it's actually going to be 7 plus 1 plus 2. So it's going to be 10 plus your dice roll. 12 total?
12 plus
10. So 22. Which should be enough. It is. That's number 2.
Now you might He can put his cleave on that too, right? Or is it?
No, there is no cleave. I don't get it.
No, I think you've got one of your powers, probably one of the red powers.
Power strike.
Yeah, where you can afterwards. Throw it on. So all do the damage. Yeah. Basically, what that allows you to do is if it's not a minion, you can throw it on after. You don't have to declare it and then waste it. And I'll tell you now, that's not a minion. So if you want to use it now, feel free.
I'll use it too.
Okay, so roll. Give me your regular damage first.
All right.
So it's almost like an action for his character.
Well, it's four.
Do you get a bonus? Should be listed under your power there as well.
Plus six, so 10.
So
it's
10.
It's like it's a counter power.
Okay.
And then you're going to throw on the extra dice. It's just straight up 1d12. Okay, roll it up.
8 more.
Nice. Okay, so 18 damage. That Drake is not happy. Okay, before anybody, now my monsters are going to go next. So before anything else, everybody give me a nature check to see what you know about these creatures.
19, sweet.
26.
Anyone get better than 20? 26, anyone beat that?
19 plus 4, that's 15.
Okay, and everyone give me a religion check.
3. Religion check?
Again, we're looking for 20 or higher.
Oh, fuck.
Religion in this.
Under your wisdom.
No modifier. 4. Oh, wait, I'm using the wrong
flag. Yeah, I would use
D20. The cleric! The cleric are you?
20?
11.
You rolled a 20?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so the guys coming out of the sewers are considered undead. They are plague-changed, so they are people that have been corrupted and overtaken by the spell plague, which is why they sort of walk and look funny. And you're pretty sure they're just minions. One hit, they're going down. You do know that, just from observing them for 5 or 10 seconds as they're moving, that they're pretty, like, wormy. They actually get, like, an extra free move action where they can shift one extra square. So just keep that in mind as you're positioning yourselves. The drakes are, they are also affected by the spell plague, but they're not considered undead. They're just considered reptiles, but they're still living, but they're the plague is, like, driving them mad. And you know that as long as they're within 2 squares of another drake, they do a ton of extra damage. So you either have to drop them fast or separate them. And the creatures are instinctual, and they would know enough how their own powers work, so they're going to try and stay together.
Okay. Would knocking one prone be considered...
If he's prone, then he just has to waste his action standing up, his move action. So if like a bunch of them are running and you can drop one prone, then it would keep him behind. So okay, so we've got the guys with the blue capes are going to go. So they can move, how many, what's their speed? They can move 6, attack, and then move 1 more. Okay, and they just literally go for the closest guy. So that guy's going to go there, that guy's going to go there, and that guy's going to go and attack that guy, and that guy's going to go attack that guy. Whoops. Okay, we're going to attack these two bystanders out here first. That one got him. That one's not. Help me, I'm being attacked. Who's this?
Me.
Chris, help him.
Okay, me. 11 versus AC. And a 1 on that guy. Okay, so they're... That's the blue guys. Okay, Al, then Christopher, then the yellow capes. So Al, you're up next.
Oh, man. That screwed me up.
This is you over here, right?
Yeah. I don't want to leave you. But I also don't want... Like, is anybody here going to take care of these guys?
You know what? I will. Because
they're not, I can tie these 3 guys pretty much up.
Yeah.
All right. Minor action. I'm going to activate my Defender Aura.
Okay.
I'm going to actually do a move action. So you do get
an opportunity attack?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Okay, go. Yeah, he will not drop you prone, so he rolled 1.
And I actually go here.
Yep, no problem. So now both of those guys are in the Defender Aura. Perfect.
Right. And
they've got you flanked, which is not going to be good for you, but you may be able to kill him if you can do a lot of damage.
I'm going to hit the one we've already hit.
Oh, sorry, which one was it? It was this one, right? I scored the damage on the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nice. That'll be 20.
That'll hit.
Actually, 22.
Yeah.
I should roll this.
Their defenses are not incredibly high, but the drakes have a lot of hit points.
6, so that's 10 points damage.
Okay, that bloodied him.
Okay, I'll power strike it.
He was right on the cusp of the first, after the first round.
So for another five. So that's more? 15 total.
Okay, that brings him up to that. Yeah, he's not happy. Action point.
That's right, yeah, but they're still next week, too. I will hold off my action.
You gonna hold? Okay. Christopher, which guy are you?
I'm the dragon.
You're this guy here?
Yeah.
So you try and use your bow while he's standing next to you, he's gonna get a free swing.
Yeah.
You can shift one square away first.
I'm going into aspect of the wolf.
Okay, so it's a minor action to do the aspect.
Yeah, and you do not provoke opportunity attacks by leaving squares adjacent to you.
Okay, so.
Am I adjacent to
you? No, you're not adjacent to any of your allies.
Damn. I thought I was.
One of the ones lets you shift, I think, though.
One of the stances. The snake one lets me shift at the end of my turn.
Well, you still got a move action. You can shift the one square first and then fire and you're safe. You're only going to be able to go the one square and that's it. You can risk it. You can shoot from there. I mean, your checks were high enough, you know he's a minion. So his damage is not going to be through the roof.
He's a minion?
But damage is still damage. Yeah.
Okay. In that case, I'm going to quickly take care of this side so someone can take care of that side. So what I'm going to do is I will do the shift.
Well, there are no heroes over there right now. Only bystanders. Over here, you got all these heroes to potentially protect these bystanders.
And you have range.
And I think you're the only ranged character.
Okay, so in that case, I will take care of them.
So you're gonna draw an opportunity attack from that guy?
You can still shift, though.
Yeah, you can shift.
This is your only free move. It's to there. Any other square that you can move into will still be adjacent to him.
Yeah.
So you shift to there, no problem. You can see them all. No problem. Which ones are you targeting?
You've got a.
I got aim shot. Right? Is that one?
There's aim.
About?
No, there's the other one.
You have one where you can do two shots.
The rapid shot, but you could aim it here, and you can actually hit three of them here, and that would clear. Hopefully, these guys can help.
See, that's what I was thinking. But it's only adjacent, so if I target him, it would only be him.
But you pick a square, don't you? You pick a square.
What?
You pick a square. So if you pick this square, it's all three of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you pick this square, shoot him.
Yeah.
But then, would you rather me pick this square and pick off?
Well, you can potentially pick off two there or three. No, this guy's not. Or these three.
Yeah. If it's pick a square, then it's either of these squares. You can get all three of those.
Okay,
guys.
In that case, I'll do
that. Might be a better way to go. Okay. So we'll start with this yellow guy. Their armor class is it's versus armor class or reflex?
It's versus armor class.
So 16 is your number.
Yeah.
Tell me if you hit him.
1d20 plus 8.
You need 8 or better.
I got 19.
Done. This guy?
I have to.
You have to roll to hit for all of them.
8 is exactly what you needed.
10.
Nice. Sweet. The ranger comes to town and shows us how it's done.
Nice.
Takes down three guys.
Nicely done.
Clean touch.
Okay. Now, with 4th edition, you get an action point every two fights. You start the day with one action point. You get one after you complete two fights. It gives you one other action. You can use it to move. You can use it to attack. It's up to you. You can, my recommendation is usually if you're going to use it early before the monsters have a chance to lay into you, or hold on to it until you might actually need it for an emergency, or even just wait and see. Maybe you want to use the next
time. I might as well use it right now and pop off the other group of guys too.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, so you get these two then if it's the same attack. So 8 was your number, right?
Yep.
Nice.
Done. Look at that. First round took out 5 guys. That's why we bring him to the group. Okay, guys with yellow capes. Well, there's only 2 left.
Awesome.
I don't like what they're seeing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yep.
No.
Well, better you than somebody else.
Yeah.
Okay, so they come up. They got a plus. Let's see, that one got charged, so he's going to have a plus 7. So we'll say the black is the charging guy. So you got a 13 versus AC.
AC is 16.
And 13 versus AC. So they both come up, they both miss.
Nice.
And then they both shift around you. Okay, Barry. Okay, so hold on, before Barry goes, remind me, I haven't played Avenger in a long time. When does he get his 2 dice? As long as their monster is not next to other monsters?
He has to make them use Oath of Ebony.
Yeah.
Right?
And then he can always roll 2 against them.
But it's as long as the monster is not next to other monsters, right? He's got to be by himself.
I was just playing it for Avenger recently. I think it's something along those lines. Some weird like little thing.
So, but I thought he can't have allies next to him. I thought it's like a one-on-one battle.
Actually, have my...
Hang on, he's got it on the sheet here. Let me just take it.
So I have my Avenger character sheet in here. I can find it for you.
You play an Avenger?
I have an Avenger.
Yeah, you know what? For tonight, I'm not going to sweat it. We'll just say, as long as he's your oath, you can get the two attacks, and we'll look it up for next week. Just keep
it has to be a melee attack or something like that.
Yeah. Okay, so you need to... you just pick a bad guy, take a minor action to sort of single him out, and then you get to attack him twice and keep the better result.
So just point at him, goes, you die. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to
the thing is, if he doesn't die, you got to keep fighting him until he does.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you get up to here? How fast is your move?
I don't think so. I'm going to try and...
If he moves in charge?
I'm going to try and move in charge.
That's 12. 12.
Yeah, you could. You could charge up there.
Because he's the only one, everybody else is engaged.
It's just a basic unit, it's a great attack.
Okay, I will charge after him.
Okay, so run halfway, make him your oath, charge him the rest of the way. Roll 2d20s, Barry.
Okay, that's 12.
Or 7. Let's take 12.
12. 12. 12 should hit.
Plus
12 plus 3.
Plus
15. And that guy only
plus 7.
Oh, wait. Yeah,
because it was a charge, it has to be this one.
Okay, plus 3, that's 15.
And plus 1 to charge, 16, which is exactly what he needed, 16. Cool. So he's a minion, you don't even have to roll the damage. He goes down.
Oh, yeah. That one town person kind of got screwed in the balls. Well, I think they're down.
Okay,
the drakes are
now the drakes go. Now we're in.
Help him with the drakes. I can turn around. Now I'm gonna get
that drake mauls that guy and misses. Those two are flanked by Al and in his defender aura, so defender's doing his job. He's drawing the attacks.
Good job.
Okay, Al.
Go for it.
I gotta warn you right now. If they both hit, they can kill you.
35 hit points.
Okay. They can potentially do 38 damage if they both roll the max.
Alright, well, it's dropping.
They have them both hit first. So
AC 20.
9 plus. Oh, wow. 9 plus 20 and a 9 plus 13. So 22.
They both hit then.
Okay.
My AC's 20.
The crit is 19.
Man.
And the other one, yeah. So it's gonna be 19 plus a 9, 28 plus his D10.
So it's 28
plus the D10.
Okay, go ahead.
28 plus.
Let's see this.
1.
Oh,
29
damage.
I thought I was going to drop him. First attack. Boom.
Go defend. Okay.
So I'm going to assume that you are very bloodied at this point.
Extremely.
Yes.
Oh, I did he is take, not a happy camper. I forgot to take into consideration my bow expertise.
You have an interrupt that can.
No. I'm just saying, with my last attack, I didn't do the bow expertise or the serpent stuff. I think I'm
don't worry about it.
You
okay.
Yeah, no.
Craig. And then after Craig, we're going back to Victor. Actually, after Craig, all the guys with torches run away.
Yeah, I'm going to move 5, so I'm going to have to move here. And then it's a standard to use healing word, right?
A minor to use healing word. You only have to be within 5.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you don't have to be next to him.
You
can go up to him and hit him if you want.
Yeah, you know, that's actually good because I'm going to use shield and strike on him as well.
I would encourage you to do the heal first.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Because I've had more than one monster with an immediate jump in and take a guy down before he
heals. Oh, no,
yeah,
I was going to healing word for you.
What am I going
to do? Loyal Furies.
Move there so you're flanking.
Good. Alright, yep, and then I'm going to use my shielding strength. Oh, actually, you know what?
You're the one that gives everyone temporary hit points?
No, well, it's going to give plus 1 to AC.
Awesome. That works too.
Yeah. I'll start plus 1 to all defenses.
Well, I think it's better.
Nice. Awesome.
So that is 13 damage.
Nice. Way to start.
Crack down the mix over
his head. Score the healing?
What's the healing?
Oh, crap. That's right. Plus 1d6. The healing surge plus 6.
Oh.
That's awesome.
These are you?
They're running away?
God, yeah. They're regular guys.
Okay.
Okay, it's off the top.
How about that orc bitch?
That's the...
they're already off the
top. The merchants just sort of hide in their shop. Those guys go off the map.
You mean they don't volunteer to help?
No. The dwarf is too drunk.
So yeah, orc until the end of my next turn, you have plus 1 to all your defenses.
Awesome. Orc has a hairy chest.
I am actually no longer bloody. Nice.
Orc has facial hair.
But I'm sure next round I will be going back to bloody.
Three of the regular folks managed to get up, flee to safety. You see 5 running between the buildings. That guy is still down. He's like, somebody help me. And this guy is like, the break is like, and he's like, ah. He's just frozen in terror. He knows if he tries to run away, the Drake will bite him as soon as he turns around.
Okay, back to the top. Victor.
How many of my blue capes left, or are they all dead?
Blue capes are all bones.
There's two yellows.
The yellow.
Okay, so it's going to be Victor, then Al, then Chris.
Question, should I charge that guy and try to save the villager? You know what?
Take this one over here?
Yeah. I say kill the bloody kill one so that the other one doesn't get the advantage.
So if I shift back one, can I charge him?
No, but Al's, what does your defender aura do?
Well, basically, if he doesn't attack me...
So what happens if the dwarf decides he wants to just walk away?
It still holds a target.
Enemy, okay, while in the aura, any enemy takes a minus 2 penalty to attack rolls. When it makes an attack roll, doesn't appear to me.
That's it? Or do you get a free swing out?
Yes, Battle Guardian. Where is that? Subject to your attack shifts or makes an attack that was it. I get to make a melee basic attack.
Okay, so we'll assume that your characters know each other well enough that you know that these guys are effectively in his defender aura. If you move away and they try to take an opportunity attack on you, which they certainly can, I'll get a free hit on them. And the monsters would know that. So you can decide, do you think they're going to risk, like this one is near death, so I can tell you now, he is not going to risk it. This one, however, maybe, maybe not, they do a shitload of damage, so they may take the risk in order to try and, you know, hurt you more. It's your call. Or you can just pound on the guy next to you.
Let's go for as much damage as possible.
Like you can just straight up charge this guy. You'll draw an attack from him, but not from him, because he's going to opt not to take it.
What happens if he hits me?
Nothing, you just take damage.
Just take damage?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll try to save the civilian.
Okay, so you start to charge away. So before, absolutely. So hold on. So you do that. You go to charge away. So you're gonna get there. Let's resolve all this. So as you go, the Drake goes to bite you, and Al jumps in with his weapon to strike him first. So first, it's Al.
Get a flanking bonus.
Absolutely.
Sweet.
Yeah.
19.
Absolutely. Yep.
Including the plus 2 for flanking.
Yep.
10 points damage.
Okay.
Him.
That bloodied him.
Bloody.
Now he attacks you. So.
Miss. I'm too short.
22 versus AC.
18.
You take, another one. 4 points damage.
Nice.
Oh, wait, hold on. No, he's got another Drake next to him. 10 points damage.
Yeah. Wow, that aura really
it's a big difference. Yeah. Okay, now you get to resolve your attack.
So you're also flying. Well,
yeah.
You get
so now, yeah, you're gonna get a whole whack of bonuses. So as long as you don't roll a 1, you should be in good shape.
15.
Okay, so you're gonna get the plus 10. You also get an additional plus 2 for the flanking, and whatever your dice roll. So it's 17. That's gonna be enough. The 15 was actually enough. But okay, so roll it up.
6 points.
7.
So 7.
7
and I will do power strike.
Now, is that a red power? You can only use the red ones
power
once per
strike.
Fight.
Only once per turn. Once per combat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But the good news is, these guys are more than 2 squares apart, so if that guy attacks you on his turn, he only does the plus 3 instead of the plus 9.
Alright. Al, then Chris.
I think he was looking the worst for wear. So
he is very much the worst for wear.
I'll try and finish
this guy is at exactly his bloody number. Half a tip point.
Pretty much
nice.
And that's
nice.
12 points.
Okay, pretty much what's happening is
crushing
his
head.
Crushing your head.
He's still kicking.
12 points drop. Doesn't drop him.
Crap! He's close, but he's not quite there.
Oh.
Action point.
Yeah, but I know next week is nasty.
Christopher's up next.
Who's next? Who's up next?
No, wait. Which one? Sorry, yeah. It's the ranger. He's got those 2 guys. He's probably not going to be able to help you. Then the yellow cloaks, then Barry.
The yellow cloaks and Barry.
Barry's over there. And then the drakes. If he falls down, this guy won't get the plus extra damage.
All right,
all you got to do is hit him. He's got 4 damage, 4 hit points left.
I believe in you.
Can I have another ability to give me?
No. With that heroic effort hand, you can't afford to miss this attack.
9, 18.
Yep. Soon enough. Got him. Toast.
Nice.
Goodbye, you evil little bastard.
Okay. And actually,
you got
I
move
will...
action still if you want it.
No. Because I want to keep the flanking back. Yep. But as a minor, you're within 5. You're within. Who's here? You're within 5. Take art, friends. You gain a +2 power bonus to all defenses until the start of your next turn.
Nice.
And you get 5 temporary hit points.
Thank you.
Nice.
That's awesome.
So temporary hit points, they can go above your normal hit points, but they will be the first damage you take. And if you end the encounter and you still have temporary hit points, they disappear. And if you get more temporary hit points, they don't stack. You just keep the better number. So you have 5 now. If someone granted you a power that gave you another 5, you would still stay at 5.
So that's how that works. Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, I was looking at the barbarian, how they keep getting more and more temporary.
Yeah, the key with that is barbarians tend to be pretty soft. They tend to get hit a lot. So the temporary hit points go up and down and up and down. Okay, yellow guys. So, the yellow guys.
They don't like you very much.
No, I'm sorry, it's Christopher first. I'm sorry. Yeah. Christopher, then the yellow guys.
Okay, I'm going to shift 1 because of the stance.
You can't shift onto the card, unfortunately. And that'll keep you next to that guy.
He will get an opportunity attack.
They've sort of boxed you against the card. They figured this was going to happen.
All right, well, I'll take the chance to do it.
You missed.
Nice. See, this guy's awesome. All right, same deal, rapid shot. So
8 was the number.
Huh?
Is this the same one you used last time?
You throw 8.
You need an 8.
It's a 7. I've got a bow expertise for +1 to any damage.
That should already be worked in unless it's something that only comes in part-time.
Okay.
Yeah. Not enough. Brought his A game the last turn and left it on the field. Okay, now the yellow guys get to go.
They're not flanking you, which is good.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, I got a 16 and I got a 15.
16 hits, armor class is 16.
Okay, so you take 4 points of damage.
Okay, cool.
And then this guy shifts after the attack to flank you like that. Okay, Barry, where are you, bud?
I move over here.
Yeah.
And hack that guy with the overwhelming strike.
Okay, so you make him your oath of enmity?
Yeah, you may want to make an oath.
You know, it's an encounter power.
Yeah.
So does that mean I can only use it once?
Until the guy dies. The guy you mark,
but I used it before.
No.
But you get it back. The guy you mark, as soon as he dies, you get the power back.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to use oath of enmity.
Yep. So he's your oath, no problem.
Okay, and I'm going to use one of these overwhelming strike.
Yeah, this one.
Yeah.
So giddy up. So 2d20s. Well, the 1's no good, so we're going to take the second roll. 19, much better. Roll the damage.
Okay, it's 1d10 plus 4.
Nice. So 10.
Six.
That one you only get to roll once. Okay. Good job.
Thank you.
Okay, the drakes. Well, this one's down here.
And you can shift 1 square and slide the target 1 square into the space you just occupied.
Do you want to do that? Do you want to move them around? Probably won't make a difference.
Well,
because you've got to put them where you were, which is still going to put them next to the inner surprise standard.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to use my action point.
You're going to use it now? You're going to count him again?
Yeah.
Okay, give me 2d20s.
He's not bloodied yet.
He will be after this.
11. And 15.
Okay, so you're going to hit, no problem.
Roll damage 7. Again.
Yep.
Okay,
so it's your d10 plus 4. Nice save. 12 damage. That bloodied him. So he's a bloody dome.
Bloody hell.
Okay, good job. Whatever.
Alright,
okay, the drakes.
On, scum.
Are either of these two guys marking? No.
No.
So he's going to attack you, because you're the oath there, Barry. So he attacks you, might actually hit you. 17 versus armor class?
Hit.
So you're going to take 7 damage. This guy down here, if he shifts, he takes damage, right? Or he gets an attack?
No, shifting I think is fine. It's only when he does an attack.
Well, you already actually took an attack on him. No, you've gone since then, so.
When he's subject to your turn. Oh, no, he shifts. No, I do get to make the shot. He shifts.
Okay, so he's just going to attack you from there. 8 plus 7, 15.
No,
versus AC.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Craig.
Alright, I'm going to use my ringing blow on the druid there. From here on out, if I hit him, actually, either way, you're going to be able to use all defenses if you attack him on the next turn.
We're going to have seafood tonight.
So yeah, that is 23 versus
yep.
7 damage.
Okay. So not happy. Wait, which one are you? You're this guy?
Yeah,
okay. I just want to make sure I score the damage on the right monster.
Yeah, if you attack him,
he's the door.
I will.
Okay.
He's the door.
This guy scuttles away one square and then runs over to here and he helps his buddy get up.
Finally.
Those guys all managed to get off the map.
Hold on.
Have any of them died?
No, not yet.
No. Okay. The melee clears for a moment, and you see an armored figure standing between you and the ravaging beast, purple cloak wafting in the wind of battle. The warrior is clad in full plate armor. A helm hides his face, and you can see atop his head sits a gleaming mithril crown with sapphire set into its tines. "For Neverwinter," he says in a rasping voice, and raises his sword. Ice-cold flames flare from the crown into the blade as he charges towards the plague change monsters. I'm just going to use this blue guy because he's out. So he was sort of came off, and he comes charging in here.
Steal my
We're never
winter. Come on, I took out like half that.
We're never.
Give me the pen. I can use it.
You're a little late.
Yeah, they're not gonna hit
you. Okay. Victor, you're up.
He kills the drake before he even gets to go.
Someone has a noble background? Where are you? You're over here?
Yep.
Okay. You immediately, when he says that, you look over, you immediately recognize the crown as the crown of Neverwinter.
Nice.
And you're like, oh my god, this is awesome. It'd be like we're playing some hockey in the backyard, and Wayne Gretzky comes along. Can I play? Oh my god, it's the Brinkhorn! You know, like that's sort of how your guy's feeling now. He's like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, I get to play with the noble guy.
I'll charge that guy.
He's
yeah. So you're gonna draw an attack from that guy in the process.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's 8 points of cold damage and
takes an attack.
Don't forget you got plus 2 on your defenses.
Ooh, 18 plus.
I think that's 7,
25.
25 versus AC, does that hit?
Yeah, that is.
10 points of damage.
Ooh.
Are you bloody? Are you down to half your hit points or less?
Yes.
Okay.
Good. Actually, No, actually, I'm not. I'm at 16 because of the temporary.
Oh, right. I forgot you had those temporary hit points. Okay. So roll it up.
Okay.
So, I think you can do enough to kill this guy if you hit him and roll really well.
12 to 22.
Oh, yeah. 15 is your number. You're good.
You get plus 2 to all your defenses for the next until the end of the next.
Yeah, but I rolled an 18. You're not going to. Roll big.
3.
No. I only use this
9 total.
9 total?
Damn.
Okay. He doesn't like. Sorry, what was your question, Barry?
I use this only once per encounter.
Yeah, this one, Avenging Echo, once per fight, and this aspect of Might once every.
I kind of want to just target and steal the king.
Al, you're up next.
Sorry.
So much for the king.
I'll try and finish him off.
Yeah, that'll hit.
11 points damage.
And that's just enough. He had 10 hit points left. Booyah.
Okay.
The guy with the crown is like, yes, we are victorious. Go Neverwinter. And he's all, you know.
So
he's
I will.
He's all, team you guys. Like, yeah.
These guys.
I'll move up.
Waiting in the shadow waiting for us to, like,
okay, yeah. Christopher.
Accidentally stabs him.
We got these two plague change guys over here giving you a hard time.
We're gonna have to see you
right in front of you.
Any range attacks me will draw from both of those guys.
So you know what? I'm just gonna draw my longsword and try to decapitate one.
Okay.
It's 1d20 plus 3 versus. I say we should do a back flip onto the cart and try.
That's enough. Boom. Got him.
Okay, cool. Oh, yeah, it's a mage.
Yeah.
Now, you can actually move now if you want to step.
Yeah, you can still move, but if you move more than one square, yeah. So, boom. Let's get out of the way. Okay. Yellow cloak. Oh, you're not getting away that easily. And, wow, he's rolling good. 21 versus AC.
Hits.
4 points of damage. Barry, where are you?
Right here.
So the guy with the crown is all like,
do it, Red Lobster! Red Lobster!
You get an additional plus 2 because you're flanking, too.
Okay.
Is there, like, this aura that the king gives off that just makes us do better? Or?
I am
not nothing that exciting.
But he's got, like, this fire. Overwhelming strike.
Okay, overwhelming. You have to roll 2 dice.
Plus.
So 4 or...
That's 11 or
11's not gonna be enough. That might be
9 plus 7. That's 16.
16 is exactly what
plus
you need.
Plus 2 for flanking. Okay. Yeah, you're fine. Oh.
Okay, roll it up, Barry.
Okay.
That guy's bloody, right? Yeah.
5 plus 4.
9.
Okay. He's not happy, and it's his turn.
We're gonna have.
And he's gonna attack Barry.
No, you got the mark on.
Okay, he attacks out, and he gets a 22.
Oh, 22 will just hit because I got the plus 2. Just hits.
3 plus 1. 4.
I rolled a lot of ones tonight.
4 points damage?
4 damage. Okay, Craig.
Just above bloody.
You know, I'll give you a healing word. You're so close to. Oh, I can use it one more time. Awesome. Healing word for you, and I'm trying to get myself in position.
Victor, you're going to be next.
Alright, I gave my healing word first.
It's only minor.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Been a while since you played a cleric.
Yeah, I have not played a cleric in like forever. That's why it's so yep. Good. Alright, so I'm going to do my.
Are you sure?
I got the flanking bonus too. That's 13.
No, he's not flanking.
13, but I used my heroic effort to
plus 4.
Seven. That'll do it. Yep.
What's this effort?
He was one of the powers that
yep.
That's right, it's 12 damage.
10's what you needed, he's down.
Gang up on that pawn scum.
Okay.
Hey guys, there's this guy over here, won't leave me alone.
Yeah. Okay, so those two guys managed to run off. And the Lord sees the one guy, he's like, there's one more for Neverwinter! Oh, and he like comes charging over. He doesn't quite get that far. He comes around the cart there.
Okay.
Victor. Then Al.
You know what? Might as well try something. I will.
I tried to charge
you. This is you here, right?
Yeah. I'll use the charging stance.
Yeah.
I'll move 5.
Yeah.
I want to jump off the thing. And
oh, yeah, no problem. So. give me an athletics check on the way.
I mean, I think if you fall just face flat in the cart, 17.
No problem. So you come up and do this. For a dwarf, he does this awesome leap, takes a step off the thing, and he's using a hammer or an axe, I assume, probably an axe. Yeah. Now you got a hit, or you're really going to look silly. Oh! Jumps up on the thing, and then just as he's coming out, he slips, and whoa! Oh.
And he hits himself on the head.
You know what? I was looking for damage to fall.
Okay. Now.
I would, but.
The dwarf falls in a bucket of meat pie. Meat pies.
He's too busy with the meat pies to even realize. That was almost epic.
One, two.
Toast the Twinkies.
Five, not even in my range.
That's okay, I got her.
I just do a double move.
Okay.
And taunt him.
Christopher.
All right.
Show us how it's done, man. Shift one square. Fire away.
All right.
You need an 8.
So I'm going to take an aimed shot for... what'll give me the best chance to hit? You know what? I'm gonna
use plus.
I'm gonna use my disruptive shot.
I think disruptive shot. Yeah. Okay.
Just to piss him off. Hits.
Shoot. Got him.
Headshot.
As you toast him, the Lord like he just comes around. And says, yes. Okay, so
you didn't really do anything, but that's okay.
I tried to steal his crown.
So as the combat goes on, and as you guys manage to take it, the people that took off are still watching, right? Like it's like a train wreck. They want to stay back where they're not going to get hurt, but they want to see what's going on. So the folk cry out, "The king! The king!" The warrior stands, mythical crown gleaming atop his brow, and sort of gets up on this cart, gives you a gentle sort of, excuse me.
Get
Their master comes, he says in a voice like steel scraping the growl through gravel. Make ready! He points his bloody sword to the sky where a great winged shape descends towards you with a roar. It lands with a thunder clap, with a clap of thunder. And when your vision clears, you face a towering white dragon wreathed in blue fire. And he lands right in the square. So now, you guys have the option. This is the end of the first encounter. So, even though from a story perspective things would happen right away, you get the benefits of a short rest. So you regain all your counter powers, you get to heal up. Next week's encounter is literally this. You fight the dragon and then die. So if you want, we can do it now, I don't see it taking more than a half an hour.
I am so down.
And then that way, we're ahead by a week. You guys want to do that? And then after that, that's a chapter break. You get an extended rest, and the characters come back 100% the next time.
Oh, serious?
Yeah. Nice. But the next encounter is a level 3 encounter, so it's going to be tough. Like, people will fall unconscious.
You mean like this one here right now?
This was a level 2 encounter. The next one is a level, like, the one you just did was a level
2. Oh, yeah, no, but I mean the one with the dragon.
The dragon is a level 3 encounter, and it can do up to 30 points on a crit. So that could potentially kill people.
That would kill people.
Okay, so.